Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another episode of Talos Takes. I'm your host, Nick Biasini. I'm joined today by Jacob Finn. He's one of the researchers that was working on the year in review report. Today, we're going to take kind of a deep dive on the APT section. Thanks for joining me today, Jacob.
Thanks, Nick. Looking forward to it.
All right. So the report has a lot of findings in it. Obviously, the larger year in review report has a ton of content. This is kind of a smaller call out just on the APT section and the activity we're seeing in nation states. We cover a few different countries in the report, but note a couple of high level takeaways. Can you kind of discuss those findings a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So looking across all of the major state-sponsored or state-aligned actor groups, which were engaged in a variety of activities like espionage, data theft, and destruction, we began to see common trends across several of the threats. For one thing, we've seen a greater trend towards the introduction of customized malware, which was unique to each group, as well as the continued evolution of variants, which we have previously known and studied. Second, I would say that APT actors continue to use publicly known exploits to compromise organizations. In particular, we continue seeing exploitation of Log4j utilities. And indeed, this is something that our end of year report covers quite in depth. And then third, I'd say we've actually seen observed APT activity in our incident response engagements. We've seen some really prominent groups engaging in very persistent activity, which is really highlighting the threat to organizations today.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good info. So obviously, with our involvement in the war in Ukraine, we've seen a ton of Russian aggression. We specifically call out three groups in the report: Fancy Bear, Gamma Radon, and Turla. Can you talk a little bit about the activity we've seen from those groups and any of the key takeaways or anything from the report?
Sure. For the groups we highlighted in our report, their operations, like of these groups, can broadly be placed, I would say, into three categories, which we've seen, which would be disruptive activities, influence operations, and then espionage and data theft. So we've tracked several of the campaigns which were designed to disrupt Ukrainian computer networks, such as the Whispergate wiper, which we had seen had similarities to the NotPetya wiper that affected global entities around 2017, as well as tracking several of the other wiper families that came after. We actually found evidence that actors who were previously associated with the Fancy Bear organization were using these wiper attacks as a pretext for other disinformation operations against the Ukrainian public. But actually, of the three groups you just mentioned, we've probably seen the most activity coming from Gamma Radon. For example, there were very highly aggressive Gamma Radon spear phishing campaigns, which were attempting to target Ukrainian government users with things like info stealers, which are probably designed to collect information that would be important to Russia's military or its decision makers during the war. You can bet that this will probably be a consistent theme as the war continues, and honestly, even after any type of ceasefire on the battlefield when the war ends.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they are very active in that region. Russia is obviously far from the only country that we're seeing being aggressive. I know we've seen a lot of activity from Iranian-associated groups, most notably Muddy Waters. Can you talk a little bit about the activity we've seen from them in the last year?
Yeah. So based on a full review of multiple Muddy Water campaigns, we assess that this Iranian group probably consists of multiple independent subgroups, which focus on different regions of the world. They each use different tactics against targets in those regions. But at the same time, we also found that they shared TTPs in several of the campaigns. So it worked well in one campaign, such as the use of a specific maldoc or a remote access utility, was actually borrowed by another group and used in a separate geographic campaign. Basically, this finding that Muddy Water consists of multiple subgroups actually ran contrary to the prevailing view. This group operates as a single actor. Also, like I said earlier, Muddy Water is actually one of those groups that we have seen more active in our incident response engagements. They've used backdoors and post-exploitation tools. And even after remediation, we would later find additional backdoors, really highlighting the persistent nature of this group.
Okay, that's interesting stuff. I know for me personally, one of the interesting findings we had in the last year was related to some Mustang Panda activity that was taking advantage of the ongoing war in Ukraine to kind of spread some malware in the region. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. So because of the war in Ukraine, it kind of seemed like everyone wanted to take advantage of the situation. Not only many of those ransomware gangs and cyber criminals, but even APT actors as well. Mustang Panda, for example, which we believe is a China-linked espionage group, began sending phishing attachments to European victims with themes concerning Russian military activities. And even just prior to that, the themes had to do with things like European Union political activities. I think one had to do with the Union's human rights priorities. I think this activity kind of shows two things about Mustang Panda. First, it marked a shift away from the group's typical victimology, which in the past has been the United States and nations in Asia. And then second, the activity is also consistent with the group's opportunistic approach to exploiting current events. You know, we have seen this group previously using lures related to things like the COVID-19 pandemic and various international summits and really just hot political issues around the world.
Oh, that makes sense. And you mentioned Mustang Panda is associated with China. Were there any other Chinese APT groups that you wanted to highlight as part of the report?
Yeah, actually, you might find this interesting. Our end of year report discusses the reemergence of some older techniques such as malware, which is being spread through USBs and other types of like removable drives. And last year, our Cisco Talos incident response team was responding to a growing number of these types of engagements. Our team found PlugX, which is a remote access Trojan, commonly targeting Windows operating systems. And the PlugX variant we found is commonly associated with Mustang Panda, but also a number of other China-linked APT groups. This obviously shows that organizations should continue to stress the importance of cyber hygiene, including USB hygiene, right? In other words, you don't want to plug a device like a USB drive into your network if you're not fully sure what's on it. So really just a lot of interesting new activity coming from Chinese groups.
Yeah, what's old is new again.
What's old is new.
Yet another example, yeah. I know that we saw a couple of Lazarus campaigns in the last year. Some of it was exposing some Log4j exploitation as well. I know that North Korean groups, which Lazarus is associated with, have heavily exploited Log4j, but they're far from the only groups that have been abusing the vulnerability. Can you talk a little bit about how Log4j was leveraged by nation states over the last year plus?
Yeah, that's true. Lazarus became really good at exploiting vulnerabilities such as Log4j. For example, we saw them targeting public-facing VMware Horizon servers, which gave them access to some pretty global energy companies. I think they were located in the United States, Canada, and Japan. But you're right, Lazarus is far from the only group. We call it another group in our end-of-year report known as Deep Panda, which is actually another China-linked threat. Deep Panda used Log4j to target an organization in the healthcare sector. We've tracked Iranian groups, North Korean groups, really the whole range. Unfortunately, this is a problem that's only going to grow as cyber actors continue exploiting these publicly known older software vulnerabilities. And also, the risk really only increases if organizations fail to apply the proper software patches in a timely and regular manner.
Yeah, Log4j is one of those insidious vulnerabilities that can be buried in software and you may not even realize it's there. Lastly, we covered a fair amount of South Asian APT groups on the last year as well. Can you talk a little bit about what we saw out of Transparent Tribe and Bitter APT, which are a couple of groups that are active in that region?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because prior to joining Talos, I actually didn't know that this was such an active region when it comes to APT groups, but we definitely observed some interesting trends. For example, Transparent Tribe, which is a Pakistan-linked group that commonly targets governments and military organizations in places like India and Afghanistan, have actually expanded their standard victimology and have really gone after surprisingly many educational institutions in India, like colleges and university students. The other one you mentioned, I think, is the Bitter APT group, which usually conducts cyber attacks against governments in South and East Asia. Talos found a new Trojan, which we called the ZXXZ Trojan, and it was capable of things like remote file execution and then downloading follow-on Bitter APT tools. So we saw them using this ZXXZ implant against, it was the National Police Force of Bangladesh. So these have really demonstrated how these groups have become more technically sophisticated in the last year. And really, so really definitely a lot of activity coming from this region.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the nation state landscape is growing at an alarming rate at this point with all the countries jumping in. Is there anything else you wanted to highlight, Jacob, out of the report before we close out today?
Yeah, I think one of the big takeaways for network defenders, especially when dealing with APT actors, is that it's important to have a good knowledge of current events and geopolitics in order to better understand what those APT intentions are and what their targets are going to be. So across all of the different countries and actors we discussed in our end of year report, we often saw trends involving national interests, such as military issues and economic issues. For example, you see this with some of the China-linked APT groups, where the most targeted verticals are those which are identified as national priorities in China's five-year plans, which they put out every 5 years. Another example, I think, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which was a pretty good indicator for the heightened risk of threat activity. So I think along with maintaining proper cyber hygiene, segmenting networks, implementing tools like multi-factor authentication, closely monitoring these issues and geopolitics will also really help the defenders' efforts.
That's a great point. Well, thank you for joining me today, Jacob. As always, thank you for joining us for another episode of Talos Takes. Join us next time when we're talking about another malware threat that's out there affecting people. Thanks again, Jacob, for joining us.
Thanks, Nick.